Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, which is daf Vov. However, we have a little bit left yet to complete on daf Hei Omid Beit. So let's start at the two dots, five lines up from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan on Hei Omid Beit. Tana Rabbanan motz mechanut oplat yederach stau chayav uben azai poter. Now we're starting a new sugya, and once again the Gemara is pulling its multi-leveled presentation by pretending that we're going directly from here along the same path of determining whether what is considered to be a hanocha and what is considered to be an akira, by pretending that the only reason we're discussing this is because of the question of whether mahalach is ka'emed. That is a sheet, of course, that we discussed before. What is considered to be a nature of halicha? Do we see each step as being a separate hanocha and an akira, and so on? But we're going to rapidly use this takeoff point into getting into a deeper understanding of the nature of the Arba Rishuyos overall, and that is going to be taking us into a whole new world of understanding the nature not only of Rishut HaYachin and Rishus HaRabim, but more deeply of a Mokum Torah and a Carmelite. So Tana Rabbanan, our first case is like this. Somebody is walking out of a store, which is obviously Rishut HaYachin, and he's walking into the main plaza of the city, which is obviously Rishus HaRabim, as we'll see later. But he walks out through the stel. Now, the stel was the area where they used to have most of the business conducted. So you had these poles that were there, and you would put counters on top of it, and there were park benches to sit on, and so on and so forth. This was an area that the Rabim couldn't possibly have walked through because they'd be bumping into things all the time. So it's an area that is kept separate from the street and therefore does not have a din of a Rishut HaRabim. So even though you went through this area, which if it's not a Rishus HaYachin, because it's not Mukav Mechitzes, and it's not a Rishus HaRabim, from what we know right now, the only option that you're left with is that it is a non-Rishus, which is called a Mokum Ptur. So if that's the case, then the din would be pretty complicated, right? Because if you pass through that area, you do not know that that is considered to be Hotzah. I mean, there's a couple of issues. One issue is that how do we know that the Torah is makbid on Hotzah mirushus l'rushus if it doesn't go directly from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid or vice versa? Maybe it's only if there's a direct transfer, not if there's something in the middle. Furthermore, the obvious question is, if, in fact, you are walking and you hold that Mahalak is ka'emed, then every step would be standing still in that rishus. So Ben Azai says, in that case, you were potter, and the Rabbanit say you'd be chayiv. So Bishlama Ben Azai, I understand what Ben Azai is saying. He must hold that mahalech is ka'omei dami, and therefore, when you take a step, as opposed to what we said earlier, that there's a difference between taking a step and stopping, which is omed lafush, or a stopping, which is omed laketef, where over there you're just adjusting something on your shoulder. And adjusting something is not considered to be stopping at all. According to Ben Azai, the very moment your foot touches the ground, you're basically munach on the ground, despite the fact that you're already involved in the movement that will take the next step. Now, the obvious question of this is how in the world you could be ever chayev on someone who's mahalik arba ames and rishus harabim. So then he never is mahalik arba ames and rishus harabim. The only time he could be chayev in that would be if he throws it. But if he walks Arba Amos, he never walked Arba Amos, because it's the old Zeno's paradox. In order to walk Arba Amos, you're going to have a stop before the Arba Amos. You never get to walk the Arba Amos. So anyway, so there are multiple approaches to this, whether the din is possibly that maybe he's only talking about Zerika. But Lamaisa, it seems clear from the Rushalmi as Tesis Springs that the din of Mahalach Arbamis Prishus Arabim is a halacha that is a hilchata gemirala, and therefore the tzura of how you do it and whether technically speaking it would be considered to be an amida as a hanocha is irrelevant because that is gufa, the movement that the Torah asked. Fine. But it's not our big problem right now. What we need to understand is this machlokas. According to the Rabbanit, let's say even that the Rabbanan hold that Mahalech is certainly not Hanocha, it's not the same as standing still, and everything is hunky-dory. Is it hunky-dory? Are we sure that we have a mocker in the Torah for this type of hotzah? I mean, remember, hotzah is a malacha geruah. And because of that, we need a special limud to tell me that hachnasa is also chayev, even though it ought to be the same thing as hotzah in terms of rishus l'rishus. If it's a malacha geruah, then obviously the very specific nature of the way that it was done in the Mishkan may be absolutely definitive. So where do we see in the Torah that at the time of the Mishkan in the Midbar, there was a concept of being motzi mirashus rashus in this fashion where you would walk through a stau? I mean, a stau is a very special type of rashus that was common in the times of the Gemara and the Greeks and the Romans. So where do we get that from? So let's say even that Mahalach is Lavka Omid. Show me where in the Midbar this type of thing would be chayev. Omer of Safra, Omer of Ami, Omer of Yochanan, I shall explain it to you. It is no different than somebody who passes something from Rishus HaRabim to another place in the Rishus HaRabim. Now, is it not true that when he's going from one place in Rishus HaRabim and he passes through four Amas, right? Now, had he put something down in that area before he got to the end of Arba Amas, would he have been chayev? No. So basically what he's doing is he's walking through an area where he would not be chayev if he put it down. And then when he gets to the area that he is chayev on, where it's more than four Amas, then he's chayev if he puts it down. So what's the difference? The same thing should be true over here. If a guy is able to take something from a Rishus HaYachid, so you're saying, but he's walking through a place where if he had put it down, he would have been punter. That's the style. So every time somebody walks Arba'amis and Rishus HaRabim, if he would put it down, he would be putter. Obviously, walking through a place where you'd be putter does not cancel the Hotzah. And the truth is, Vaharaya, that if you walk through a Rishus HaRabim and go into Rishus HaYachid, you keep walking through the Rishus HaYachid, all of that area that you're walking through in the Rishus HaYachid is irrelevant to the Hotzah anyway. I mean, but that doesn't bother us. The Iker is, we look at the beginning, we look at the end, we look at the Akira, we look at the Anocha. Very nice one-upmanship, Gabi. But I got news for you, buddy. He's just more concentrated. We're both boosting. So, should be the same as that. Lav Avagav, the Kamer Nakat Levozel, no matter how far you walk, you'd be potter. And then when you set it down, you're chayev. Okay, so then it's the same thing over here. Oh, come on, says the Gemara. That's not similar. Me, dummy. You're telling me that if I had walked more than four amas, so all the extra area is meaningless. Okay, but if I had put it down there, you're right, it's meaningless. But if I had put it down there, would I be chayev? Yes. So there's no place that interrupts the area of my chiyav, is there? Mashenkin, over here, any place that I would put it down after it's the Arba Amos, I would be chayev. Over there, I would be potter. So, there's no comparison at all. So but hacha, if I would actually set it down in the stow, then it would be a mokum p'tur. No, this is not a good read. Okay, fine. Let's polish this up a bit. What it's really similar to is somebody who walks exactly four Amas in Rishus HaRabim, okay? So you start walking, and now at any point that you would have set down your thing that you're carrying, you would be potter. Just like the stow. When you get to the end and you set it down, then you're chayev, just like passing through the stow and setting it down in Rishus HaRabim. So what about that? There you've got a perfectly good comparison, right? So you're going mitchilat sarba lesof arba. Is it not true that afagav dimonach lebetoch arba amas? Had you set it down before you got to the end of the arba amas, what would it then be? You'd be potter. Nonetheless, when you get to the end of the arba amas, you're chayev. The same thing. Ah, bad. Very bad. It's not the same at all. Because all right. So over there, even though for this particular individual, you're right. It's not in the range of being mechayev him. But, I mean, that's his personal space of Arba Amot. If somebody else had a different personal space that culminated at the middle of his Arba Amot, there's nothing about the space per se that makes it a mokum tur. So therefore, for everyone, you did not pass through a Makom Ptur, only for yourself. But over here, the Stau is defined as a universally non-space, because it's neither Rishus HaYakim nor Rishus HaRabim. Where do we see that that type of thing is actually a Chiyuv? I don't get it. So I still need a better explanation. Because over there, it's only Lagabi Hai Gavra, this individual, it's a Makom Ptur, but universally, it's a Makom Chiyuv. Mashekin Hacha, it is objectively defined as a Makom Ptur. Isn't this beautiful, guys? It's just so nice to have to work through it and to see each level of this distinction. It's just masterful in presenting this way. So you have to actually narrow it down, get clearer and clearer, and meanwhile, learning how to think about it in such perfection. Okay, so what would be the case that would actually be similar? The case would be the norm. That's the point. The norm is that somebody goes to Rishut HaYachid or Rishut HaRabim, he always is going to be passing through an area which is called Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. The Tzidei Rishus HaRabim is an area. Now, technically speaking, look, let's first discuss the technical thing, but then let's discuss the universal thing. Technically speaking, when we're talking about Tzidei Rishus HaRabim as a very well-defined area, what we're talking about is a place that is unencumbered in terms of the Rabbim, but nonetheless won't be used by the Rabbim. For instance, since what would the normal case would be, that if you have a home is not usually built up unless you're living in one of these insane European cities, but homes are not meant to be built on the street so that everybody driving by your home scrapes the wall of your home and you walk out of your front door and either you drown in Venice or somebody runs you over in some other city, right? That's not the way that normal people live. So you have a little bit of space between your house and the road, don't you? So normally speaking, people will do something to make that area private. They'll plant some hedges. They'll build a little wall. So let's say a guy did that. Now his hedge dies, okay? His wall collapsed. So now he actually has an area, let's say of 30 feet in front of his house, where he looks onto the street, but the cars are not coming into that area. I mean, they'd only come into that area if they desperately need a place to park or something like that. But they're not going to drive through that area because, I mean, it's really very inconvenient to go make a right and then come around and then go back again and come out, correct? That's called Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. Now, there's a more reasonable and common Tzidei Rishus HaRabim than a collapsed wall. And that is a Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, such as you find in the Rova when you're walking out, you're walking along the street where you're heading towards Shar Yafo, right? So over there, at least until 2 months ago, the street was just a street. And anybody who's walking along the street can get run over, crushed between the street and the buildings on either side of the street. So what do you do in those cases? You put up these little poles or something that make it inconvenient for cars to crush people unless they're really interested, because then they have to get in between the poles, you know. So it takes a good driver to crush people. So in those cases, you're protecting the walls, maybe the people too, by not having an area that cars are going to be driving through. That's called Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. Now, the assumption is, as Tosus points out, that this is exactly the same as in the Midbar. They weren't crazy in the Midbar where they're going to have people where they're going to pitch their tents and have everybody walking by and rubbing against their tent and throwing down the tent with everybody in it. I mean, just imagine what a mess that would be. So obviously, they had Tzidei Rishus HaRabim even in the Midbar. They put up poles in front of the tent. They put up a bench or something so that they wouldn't get overrun by people on the side. It's only normal that people live that way. In which case, when the Torah spoke about Al Yatzei Ish Mimekomo and so on and so forth, it meant not to carry from one Rishus to another through Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. So that's a given. So therefore, is it not true that Hazam, Lav Avagavdi Monach Leat Tzidei Rishus HaRabim Potter, just like in the Stau, if you would have put it down in the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, is that a Rishus HaYochid? No, does not have Mechitzot. Is it a Rishus HaRabim? No, people cannot walk through there freely, and therefore it is not similar to Rishus HaRabim defined in the Midbar. Nonetheless, that's where the Torah said, do not be Motzi from one Rishus from another Rishus. Okay, so then that means that even though you're passing through a Makom Ptur, we don't care And that is still considered to be a normal type of chutzah. That's all. That's what the Rabbanan are saying. So just like over there, you would be chayev even so. Therefore, over here also, you would be chayev even so. That's the point. Okanami loshna. Matkiv or Rav Papa. So Rav Papa asked on this that Lamaisa, we do find that there's a machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Eliezer about what the din is of Tzidei Rishus Rabbim. So if you hold according to the Rabbanan who say that Tzidei Rishus Rabbim is indeed a Mokum Ptur, okay, then you've got a riot. But what about according to Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that in the case of the collapsed hedge or wall in front of your house, that Tzidei Rishus Rabbim do have a din of Rishus Rabbim because cars can actually turn in and park in your area or move through your area if there's a lot of traffic. So, Ma'ik Alameimar. Amalir Vach, brother of Ika. Oh, come on. The case of Rebbe Eliezer was where? Where you had a collapsed wall, right? So, Emet Hashametel, Rebbe Eliezer, the Metzid Rishus HaRabim, are like Rishus HaRabim. That is Dafka, where you did not have poles to prevent entry for people just to come in with their wagons or cars. Masha Einkein, if you're talking in the midbar, the case over there is Eka, the Ika Chifufi. There, which is similar to the stau. So there's poles that are put up to prevent that kind of thing. Mishamatlai, obviously, Rebbe Eliezer would not have said that that type of Tzidei Rishus HaRabim is Rishus HaRabim. He was only talking about an area that is really not a problem for a car to turn into, except that it's inconvenient because it's only a short space that's in front of your house, and then he's going to have to pull out again into the street. Fine. That's a big difference between that case where and the Chifufe, we have poles, and the norm in the Mishkan was that in the Midbar was that you had Chifufe. That for Lahadamia, that's the case, which is good according to everybody. Reb Yochanan, by the way, Ben Azai, who said that your potter in the case of passing through a stau, if you walk through the stau, he's moda that if you throw something from the Rishut HaYochid to Rishut HaRabim, that then you would be chayev. Because if the reasoning of Ben Azai is that Mahalech is ke'eme dami, then obviously that would only be if you're walking. But if you're throwing something from the beginning to the end, then there's no hanacha in the stau, and therefore, why would you not be chayev? You'll ask yourself, well, isn't that obvious? If the whole point was mahalach kemedami, obviously Superman is not mahalach, so what's the problem? Of course you would be chayev. The answer is, because remember, Ben Azai didn't say the words that mahalach is kemed. Ben Azai just said, you're potter. Now, one of the reasons that you might have thought that Ben Azai said your potter is the conversation we just had in the Gemara. Maybe holds your potter because it's not Deime to Hotza in the Midbar. And therefore you would be potter even if it was through Zerika. That's why Rabbi Yochanan wants to make it very clear. No, nobody would argue on the fact that it certainly is supported by the nature of Hotza in the Midbar. The only issue that concerns us over here in terms of Bachlokas Ben Azai and the Rabbanan is whether walking through the stau is considered to be a hanocha in the stau, and therefore it would be potter because you didn't go directly from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. You were monach the chefetz in a mokum p'tur. Okay, now this brings us to the main issue. What are the Rishuyot of Shabbos? Now, as I mentioned to you earlier, according to Rabbah, we were talking about Rishuyot Katani, Yitziyot HaShabbat Shtayim Shein Arba. It's my belief, I haven't seen this anywhere, but it's my belief that the strange way of phrasing the Mishnah, according to Rava, would also be an indication of a way that people could remember that the number of different Rishuyas of Shabbos, even though they're only Shnayim, they are also Arba Rishuyas, not only Shnayim, which cause you a Chiyav of Arba. Okay, but that's a multi-level construction, but it certainly serves for you to start thinking about the fact that there are four different Rishuyas L'Shabbos. Those four different Rishuyos of Shabbos are as follows. A Rishus HaYochid, a Rishus HaRabim, a Carmelite, and a Mokum Ptur. Now let's define them by not defining them, but giving you examples and driving you crazy, which is always how we define things. And then you have to figure out your own definitions. So let's see. I'll give you examples of Rishus HaYochid, okay? A Charitz, Shuamok, Asara, V'Rachav, Arba. So let's say you have a pit, a long pit. It's 10 Tvachim deep. And it is 4x4 tvachim wide. Same thing would be true if you have a wall. Now, obviously, if the wall surrounds an area, and the wall is 10 tvachim high, and the area it surrounds is 4x4, that is a Rishus HaYochid. But even if this Arashi learns that even if the wall doesn't surround anything, you are talking about a wall that has on top of the wall an area of 4 tvachim. and the wall is 10 tefachim high, then the top of the wall is its own Rishus Hayachid. Forget about whether it surrounds anything, because it is an uplifted platform which has the mechitzas that keep it up, and the area on top, therefore, is itself Rishus Hayachid. These, and now this seems to be completely unnecessary to repeat, Zohi Rishut HaYachid, you just said that. You're going to tell me what a Rishut HaYachid is. Zohi Rishut HaYachid, and then it gets even worse when you say an unnecessary word. This is a Rishut HaYachid Gemura. I don't know what Gemura means, but okay, whatever it means, the Gemura will analyze later. Now, what would I mean about a Rishut HaRabim? Well, a Rishut HaRabim could be a Suratya. A Suratya is a large highway, Rashi says. That is an inter-city highway, not a road in town. So it's a large, wide, four-lane highway that has 16 amas in it. And a platya gedola, platya is a piazza, a plaza in English, which is a place where people come together in the middle of the town. And even if you have mivoot that are mefulashim, so even if you have city streets, a mavo is a city street, but it would also have to be 16 amas wide, as Rashi points out, which is what we learn out later on from analyzing the wagons in the Midbar. And they would be mefulashim. So at either end, they open up either into a area which is itself a piazza, and therefore definitely a Rishut HaRabim, or they open up to a gate of the city so that you actually get outside of the city through them. That would all be considered to be a Rishut HaRabim. But if they're dead ends, or they don't open anywhere to an area that is definitely Rishut HaRabim because it's wide open for public use, then it will not be considered to be Rishut HaRabim, as we shall see. So you could have a Suratya, Platya Gedola, you can have Mevo'ot that goes straight through from one of those areas. That is Rishut HaGemura, Rishut HaRabim Gemura. Again, it seems to be repeating itself unnecessarily and adding the word Gemura. And this is the din. You are not allowed to be motzi from the above-described Rishut HaYochid to a above-described Rishut HaRabim, or vice versa. And if you do, b'shogeg, you'd be chayav achatas, b'mezid. If you did not get hatra'ah, you would get karet. If you did get hatra'ah and you're makabel hatra'ah, you would be niskal. But then there are things that are obviously neither of the above, right? So, I mean, look, suppose you're talking about an open waterway, a yam. Or how about a bik'ah? You've got this valley where everything seems to be completely open. Or you have an istavnit, which is the area that we just discussed, where you've got the place where people do business and they sit around. So that's the area where you have the places to put the storefronts used to come down, or people would sit down on a public bench and so on and so forth. That's what we called before the stowel. And the Carmelite, which makes no sense because what we're defining is a Carmelite, via Carmelite, is neither like a Rishut HaRabim nor like a Rishut HaYachid. And the din is that you're not allowed to move four amot in these areas because they look like a Rishut HaRabim to people since they don't have any mechitzas and since they're open to the public. So people have a naive view of what a Rishut HaRabim is, thinking that anything without mechitzas and that's public property is Rishut HaRabim because, you know, it sounds like that. Now, it is not a Rishut HaRabim by any stretch of the imagination. It's a Mokum Peturah. But since it resembles in people's minds a Rishut HaRabim, the Chachomim made a Gezerah that there is a third type of Rishus. And that third type of Rishus, instead of a no place, which is a utopia, you know, so instead of a no place where you can just freely carry on Shabbos, which I guess is why they call it utopia, so it's really a artificial Rishus called a Carmelite, and it has the worst of Rishus HaYachid and of Rishus HaRabim. So you can't carry Arba Amos inside of it because it's similar to Rishus HaRabim. You can't carry from it to Rishus HaYachid, but you also can't carry from Rishus HaYachid to it. So no matter how you look at it, we're giving it all of the Chumras. But of course, the difference is, naturally, you would not be chayev, because it arises it's a makom patur, and therefore, whatever you did with it, you wouldn't be chayev, no matter where you went. So the halacha of such an area is that you're not allowed to carry within it more than 4 amas. And if you did, of course, you would be potter. You're not allowed to take from it to Rishus HaRabim or from Rishus HaRabim to it. You're not allowed to be machpis from Rishus HaYochid to it. And you're not allowed to take out from it to Rishus HaYochid. But again, if you did, it would certainly be patur. So then that basically gives us 4 rishuyot. So that which is similar to Rishus HaRabim, that's called a karmelite min rabbanan. A real makom patur, which is an area that is so small that it could not be considered to be a makom choshev on its own, so it does not have the 4x4, it doesn't have the arba of the asar tvach, and we're going to see later on exactly what defines the makom patur as opposed to a karmelite. That would be the 4th rishus. Now, this is a bit misleading. It's a bit misleading because, as we're about to discover, there are 2 other rishuyos. And as Tosis brings up, sorry for taking a long time on this, but the Arba Rishios is obviously the most definitive brisa and thing that we need to understand here. So I'm going to be taking a bit of time to put it through. There's really 2 more Rishios. And in fact, as Tosis brings the Rajba, there ought to be, therefore you'd think, there ought to be a mention of 6 different Rishios. And in reality, there really are 6 different Rishios, or at least a minimum of 5. And that's because of the following cases. So let's take a look at the next case. We're over here. This is not meant to be a description of a different type of rishus, as Rashi points out. We're just telling you that the din is that chatzerot shel rabim umivaot shenan mefulashim. So we said that all of these places are not considered to be a rishus harabim. And if they are completely enclosed, now a chotzer, everybody who lives in Israel knows what a chotzer is. A chotzer is an enclosed area where different homes open up into that chotzer. You can have 20 different houses. They all open up into a common area, which is called the commons, the chotzer. And then that chotzer has a doorway that allows you to get out from it into either the main highway, which would be a Rishus HaRabim, or into the mavoot, which are the small streets that are not open on both ends. And then you would go through that alleyway, so to speak, that small road, into the main highway. Now, there we have a new halacha, and that is that the Rabbanim made a different gezerah. And they said, a reshut hayachid is considered to be a reshut hayachid defined not only by its objective criteria of mechitza, but also by the word yachid. Who owns it? Who lives there? They added a new idea, which is an element in the definition of rishuyot, called diurin, dwellers within. And therefore, the same way that we pretended that we'll make a karmelite, because as far as people are concerned, an area that's open to public access is ipso facto a public area, which is nonsense. The same thing is true that people believe that my private home is a private rishus, which is nonsense, because private rishus, of course, has nothing to do with who owns it, not at least the gabbai dinim of Shabbos. It has to do only with objective criteria of space. The Rabbanan, however, made a certain similarity between the concepts of rishus harabim and rishus hayochid that we find in the dinim of tumah v'tahira, where over there it's the presence of people that is important, as we're going to see, to the dinim of Shabbos. And therefore, since in people's minds, privacy and public exposure have to do with people as opposed to space, they added this consideration. So if you have 2 separate homes owned by 2 separate people that open up into a common area that is completely enclosed and is a complete rishus hayachid, you got a big multifaceted problem. A, you can't carry from 1 private home to another home. B, no private home can carry into an area that is a so-called public chutzner because 2 people or more have the right to inhabit it at the same time, even though it's all midiraisa, 1 rishut hayachid, because it's all surrounded by mechitzas and you never go out of an area surrounded by mechitzas. And therefore, what's the problem? So the Rabbanan create this new idea, which has to be addressed by 2 things. Carrying from 1 house into another has to be addressed by what is called an Eruv Chatzera. So if you want to carry from the houses in the Chatzera, you want to carry from the houses into the Chatzera, you have to deal with an Eruv. That makes all of the houses formally and through an act of putting together your food, just as a formal act to remember that now this is really all called one Rishus HaYochid. But then there's another problem. If this chatzer opens up into an alleyway, which other chatzerot open into, now you've got a broader public space. Because even though all the members of one chatzer participated in an Eruv, they did not participate in that Eruv with the members of the other chatzer. And since they're now entering into a larger commons, which is the alleyway into which the three or four chatzeros open before they can walk into the main Rishus HaRabim, they need a separate Eruv to be able to carry from their chatzer into the alley. And that is called a shituf mevo'ot, which is a type of Eruv that is done to formally show the interrelationship of the peoples who live in these chatzeros to be able to all walk from their chatzer into the mavui as well. Now, these are separate Rishuyas. They're not included in the din of Rishuyas at all. And we're only mentioning them over here, says Rashi, to put you on notice that you should not oversimplify and that the Braita that was talking about the Arba Rishuyas is talking about Arba Rishuyas in terms of the fundamental dinim. And there's only those types of Arba Rishuyas with fundamental dinim. The Rajba asks, but these are different Rishuyas, why not list them? So he explains because all of them are essentially giving certain aspects of dinim of one of the Rishus to the other. You can't call it a new Rishus. The point is that we're pretending that it's considered to be a Rishus HaRabim, let's say. Or we're pretending it's considered to be a separate Rishus HaYochid. So then we're giving it the din of a Carmelite, like I'll be carrying from one to another, right? And so on and so forth. So these are just putting together part of the din of a Carmelite, part of the din of Rishus HaYochid, and so on and so forth. We don't want to give it a separate name because it's easy to get confused and to be over on a D'oraisa. If we're going to call it something else, you might think, oh, so this is not a normal Rishus HaYochid. This is an X, whatever name you'd give it. And then if you carried into Rishus HaRabim from there, you'd be Potter. But you wouldn't. You'd be Chayev. It's a 100% absolute Rishut HaYochid in every way. We're just giving it certain dinim of the Carmelite. And therefore, we want to be careful to make sure that we don't give it its own particular name. So we really only have four names, but we have different halachas from these four names. And we're going to see it gets even worse than that as we move on, because there's other Rishuyas as well. So if you've got these chatzerot shel rabim, or mevo'ot she'inan mefulashim, the din over there is if they made an Erev between them, they can carry. If they didn't make an Erev, whatever that respective Erev is. For a mavoi, the mevo'ot she'inan mefulashim would require shitiv mevo'ot. Chatzerot shel rabim would require the Erev chatzerot. I don't need to spell it out to you here. We're going to have a whole mesechet anyway about it, called mesechet Erevin, obviously. So over there, lo Erevu asurin. Now, the fourth rishus, which I haven't explained, is Adam Omeid al Ha'iskufa. Now here is a person who is standing next to his door, on the threshold of his door. This threshold is not a Mokom Choshev, because it does not have an area of 4x4 Tvachim. Therefore, it cannot be called a Carmelite, because it's not a Rishus. Essentially, if you're standing there, then vis-a-vis the house, you're just an extension of the house. It's a makom patur. Carry from the house to the threshold. Carry from the threshold into the house. If you turn the other way and you're facing the Rishus HaRabim and you're on the threshold, so then it's just an extension of the Rishus HaRabim. Carry from the threshold to the Rishus HaRabim. Why not? It's not a makom on its own to have a chashivas of a different Rishus. Carry from the Rishus HaRabim to the threshold. Why not? That is the makom patur. And therefore, if you're Eimed Alei Skufa, you would be allowed to give something to someone in the house or take something from someone in the house. You could take something from the Ani in the Rishus HaRabim. You could give something to the Ani. However, midrabbanan, you are not allowed to serve as a service center to can't actually transfer from the Balabaya to the Ani. Okay, so the Balabaya says, okay, look, give this food to the Ani, okay? I mean, why not? If I take the food, I'm perfectly allowed to take the food from the Balabayit. Now I turn around and now I'm part of Rishut HaRabim. Hello, Ani, have some food. So midiraita, that would be perfectly okay. However, because of its similarity to transferring Rishus to Rishus, because of that, the Rabbanan answered having one person serve as a transfer center from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. So that would be the din of the Mokum Ptur. Now, there's also another shita. If you did it, obviously, nobody would be chayav at all in that case because there's no Issur D'oraita. Acherim Omrim, an iskufa can be bato to Rishus HaRabim or bato to Rishus HaYachid, depending on the situation. Is the door open? If the door is open, then the threshold is generally seen as bato to the house. Is the door closed? If the door is closed to the house, then the threshold is generally seen as an extension of the Rishus HaRabim. This halacha, we're going to have to get into the details of what does that mean. Is it talking about a d'oraisa? Is it really a bittul rishus and not a no rishus? All to be seen later on in a couple of days where we get into the explanation and deeper, because that's what we're going to be Isaac in now for quite a while, is to come to understand this b'raisa more fully. And therefore, according to the Acherim, hadelet patuach, if the petach is patuach, so then it's part of the inside of the house. If the petach is na'ul, it's part of the outside of the house. The moment that the threshold, however, is able to be viewed as a rishus bifnei atzmo, which means that it does have 4x4, or it may be 10 tfachim raised or lowered, then it has its own shame of a rishus, and you would not be allowed to carry from either to the other, assuming that it's a problem of diurin, which we'll talk about later, and how to understand this last statement. Okay, now we're just concerned about the phraseology. When you repeat it after saying, Ezohi rishut hayachid, and then you came along and you repeat, Zohi rishut hayachid. Now, what is that? Zohi rishut hayachid as opposed to what? I gave you examples. I know that you are stupid, and you're going to use those examples to include a case that you think is similar to the examples but isn't. So I want to make it very clear. This and only this that I told you, that's as far as you can take it. Tell me what stupid would do. What would I think? I would think that Rabbi Yehuda is right. And Rabbi Yehuda says an amazing thing. He says, Yeter Al-Kain. Now listen, Yeter Al-Kain, the Gemara over here doesn't go into. But the Yeter Al-Kain is referring to a case in the Braita, in the Tosefta, which talks about a very common situation. What is the din of an underpass on a highway? Toledo Gisharim. Now, I mean, you've got a highway going under the underpass. It goes through and nobody's bothering it, but it's got a roof over it. And not only that, underpasses also have real mechitzas, because you don't just have a road in which people can fly over and fly right off the road and fall down into the road beneath. There's always a little mechitza that's on the side. If those mechitzas are seen as extending downward, which is called gudachit mechitza, or even worse, there's another concept, which is called pi tikra yored v'sotein, that the edge of a roofing is seen as coming down as well. So then that area would be an area that could not be considered a rishus harabim because of the underpass. Rabbi Yehuda says, forget about the underpass. I say, and this is only a virtual wall, right? That's what's important to understand. That even though the Torah was referring to the definition of a mechitza, which we thought meant an actual defined space in terms of airspace and so on and so forth. Nonsense. A mechitza is defined as an abstraction. And because it's an abstraction, a virtual mechitza is just as effective as a real mechitza, which anybody who goes around carrying in town understands. Where are the four walls around his city that makes it all a rishus hayachid? What do you mean, where are the four walls? Don't you see that wire? What wire? Yeah, there is sequent. Oh, yeah. Well, that's the wall. What? Yeah, it don't look like no wall to me. But it's a virtual wall because it's got the sides of the poles and it's got the thing going across, and that is a virtual wall. So therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, there's another virtual wall that will work besides the virtual wall of the bridge over the road, and the other, Barney, are you up? Yes, I suspected as much. So the other virtual wall, see, if you want to go to sleep, you have to have your own Richie-like thing, see? Richie just puts a pair of eyes on his name, and then he sits comfortably ensconced behind them. Well, looky. So then nobody knows what's going on. But when you're sitting in full view, it's easy to know. Hello, Rich. Good to see you, man. Okay, so besides that virtual wall, Rabbi Yehuda said there's another virtual wall. Let's say a guy owns two homes on either side of a busy highway. He would love to carry from his kitchen in one home to his area of eating when a lot of guests come in his other home on the other side of the street. That's a bit of a problem on Shabbos. Says Rabbi Yehuda, no problem. All you need to do is build a virtual wall that actually makes the area between your two homes a complete Rishus HaYachid because it will be surrounded by four mechitzas. Four mechitzas? Well, I mean, you might have to dodge the traffic, but yeah, it's a perfectly comfy home, you know. I wouldn't advise putting your couch out there, but it's a perfectly comfy home. How do you do that? Well, all you need to do is ose lechi mikan, v'lechi mikan, okora mikan, v'kora mikan, v'nosei v'notein be'emtza. All you need to do is you put a pole. We're going to see more about what defines that. It has to be a sizable pole, which is called the lechi, that is noticeable on one side of your house, and another one on the other side of your house. And then that is a virtual wall that cuts across the Rishus HaRabim. This is because Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is that actually, midoraita, anything that has two mechitzot, one on either side, is not a Rishus HaRabim. A Rishus HaRabim cannot have mechitzas at all, even just two mechitzas. And because of that, he says the Chumra derabbanan, that the Rabbanan said if there's only two mechitzas, treat it like a Rishus HaRabim because it's a kind of carmelite. You could get away with putting up a virtual wall and make that a complete Rishus HaYachid, even midrabbanan. So if you put one korah across, a korah is a beam that goes across the street. A lechi is a beam that goes along the side of your house. Then the halacha is that you can carry in the middle. The Chachomim said, ridiculous. Ein ma'arvin Rishus HaRabim b'kach. You cannot be ma'arev a real Rishus HaRabim. So, okay, fine, I understand. So you're telling me, don't think it would extend to Rabbi Yehuda. Why did you say, Zoe Rishut HaYachid Gimura? What's the meaning of Gimura? You see, because Ma Datemek, he pleaded Rabbanan, laid the Rabbi Yehuda, lo'av Rishut HaYachid, on a middle of the Taltel. Aval Izrok Modile, Kamash Malan. You might have thought that the question of the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan about whether this is technically a Rishus HaRabim or whether in actuality it's a Rishus HaYochid because it has two mechitzas anyway. And therefore, if it has two mechitzas, if you threw out of a window into the street from your house, you really wouldn't be chayev. I mean, we're just telling you, you're not allowed to carry. Okay, I understand, not allowed to carry. Midrabbanan, right? Because you agree with Rabbi Yehuda fundamentally about two mechitzas being the end of Rishus HaRabim. It's just that Rabbi Yehuda is ready to say you can even carry. And you're saying, no, you can't carry. But you'd admit that if you threw something out of the window, you certainly wouldn't be chayev, right? I mean, it isn't really Rishus HaYochid. Kamash Malon Gimura means this and only this has a complete set of mechitzas. That's what Gemura means. Not a total, because the Tosfos points out, if the idea is total, then the meaning of Gemura is very misleading. It's the opposite. This is a Rishus HaYochid Gemura, but the other one is Rishus HaYochid. It's just not Rishus HaYochid Gemura. No, that's not what it means. It means the opposite. So this is a Rishus HaYochid that has the minimal completion of the necessary mechitzas. What Rabbi Yehuda says is Bichlal not a Rishus HaYochid. Forget about it, man. You'd be chayev even midiraisa. Okay, now let's move on to the Rishus HaRabim part of that braita. Omar Mar, this is a Rishus HaRabim. Okay, why? You're repeating something again. I mean, you said, I'm going to tell you about a Rishus HaRabim. Why'd you repeat it? Well, that's Lema Ute. That's coming to tell me that there's another thing that I need to recognize, and that is that other Rabbi Yehuda. What, you would have been fooled into thinking even that's included in the definition. What's the other Rabbi Yehuda? Well, this requires, again, an interesting excursion into a completely different sugya. Okay, so let's look at all of the wonderful things that we've learned today. First of all, we've learned about six really different areas, or at least five, even if you want to call them Mavui and the Chotzer, basically the same idea. And we've learned about a concept called a Korah, or a concept called a Lechi, which is brand new to us. We're going to get into the definitions of them later on. We got into the question of the Bittul of Rishus to another area in terms of a Mokum Ptur, where a door could be open and closed. And We have the other question about whether Digle Midbar included variations on the theme of Hotzah. Now we're introducing a new concept. This concept is called Pasei Beiraot. Pasei Beiraot are virtual walls that consist of what is very, very common in optical illusions or computer analysis of space, where you have the delineation of a space by simply marking four corners. So that four corners, your brain fills in the area between the four corners as a closed space. So if you want to, let's say you want to take a picture on your phone, what it will often do is show you the four corners around the picture, and then you can move them if you're editing, right? So it doesn't edit the entire thing. You edit with moving the corners. Pasei Beiraot are four corners, and they exist because you build a lechi that extends in two directions. So it's a corner lechi. So you put up four of these around a well. Now, the reason that we made this very special takana is because when you had people that were traveling, especially Olei Regalim, how in the world are they supposed to get water out of a well on Shabbos for their usage or for their animals? If they're in a Carmelite, then they're going to have a problem of carrying out of the well, which is a Rishus HaYochid, because it's Arba al Arba and it's 10 Tfachim deep. They can't get the water out of the well to put it into the area of the Midbar, which is a Carmelite. Therefore, the Rabbanan were mitaken, Pasei Beiraot. Pasei Beiraot act like a complete mechitza and incorporate an area that then becomes Rishus HaYochid, even lechatchila mid Rabbanan, to be able to carry from. Rabbi Yehuda held that, as opposed to his previous opinion, and of course the Gemara elsewhere points out that this is a contradiction, both in Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. In the previous Maimer, it was Rabbi Yehuda said that just don't put your couch down in the middle of the highway, but I don't care about the fact that the cars are zooming through your living room, right? Your virtual living room. Over here, Rabbi Yehuda says exactly the opposite. If you have a virtual area where you're able to put the water, if people are driving through it, then it doesn't help. You cannot have Pasei Beiraot if there's a Rishus HaRabim that goes through it. You have to move the Rishus HaRabim elsewhere. Which, okay, so Gemara explains why it's not a stira to his previous shita about two full mechitzas. When you can see yourself the difference, two full mechitzas on either side, where over here you have Rebarnea. Over here you have four virtual mechitzas, which have nothing that's real. Okay, but anyway, Reb Yehuda says that if the traffic goes through the middle of your Pasei Beiraot, that the din over there would be, if derech reshut haram mefasaktan, you must move it. The Rechakomim say you do not have to. So in order for you to understand that the halach is not like Reb Yehuda and that the Rishus HaRabim does not have to be moved, we say these are Rishus HaRabim and not between Pasei Beiraot. Okay, and what does the addition of the word Gemura come to add? It doesn't. It doesn't teach anything. The truth is, we're just trying to keep things parallel. Since in the Reisha we said Rishus HaYochi Gemura, so over here we needed to repeat this is a Rishus HaRabim in order not to confuse it with the din of Reb Yehuda, we said that this is also Gemura. Now, how come we didn't talk about a Midbar? I mean, we talked about Bika and all of that stuff, Asratya, Platya. I mean, why don't we talk about a desert? Because in a Braita, it says like this. What is considered to be Rishus HaRabim? Asratya, Platya, Gedola, Mavot, Beful Hashim. And over there it adds, and an open desert. Rabbi, well, obviously, deserts are not normally places which are public areas for travel, are they? I mean, people avoid deserts. So, lo kasha, kan bizman sheYisrael shruyin b'midbar, and kan bizman hazeh. If you had the Machne Yisrael in the Midbar, now this teaches a very important din. If you had the Machne Yisrael in the Midbar, then anywhere in the Midbar would be a Rishut HaRabim, because it's suitable for the movement of a large group of people. According to some, it has to be the same population as the Midbar. In other words, if you have 600,000 people that could possibly be using this area as travel area, then and only then is it considered to be Rishut HaRabim. If you don't have 600,000 people that could be using it, Okay, there's a big machlokas that Rambam holds. You don't need the 600,000. Rashi over here doesn't mention 600,000. Rashi in Erevin does mention 600,000. But the point is that what we're talking about here is not the number per se, but the area. The midbar as a midbar is all possibly a Rishat HaRami. If there would be people that are using the midbar, even though they're miles away, but they'd be using the midbar as a place of travel. Now, this has to do very much with the halakha, let's say, of a highway that is cutting through your small town. Okay, now this highway, there's nobody around you that, I mean, the whole population of the town, maybe 2,000 people, but there may be nobody on the road. You know, it's a nice Sunday morning, no traffic, everything's great. It's still Rishus HaRabim. Of course, it's only if you're not a Seventh-day Adventist. It's all still Rishus HaRabim, even though it's Sunday. It's still Rishus HaRabim in terms of the fact that it could be used by anybody at any time, and it supports traveling population of more than 600,000 people. So that we would learn from here from a midbar bizman hazeh versus a midbar bizman sheyisrael hayasham. And what we said, the last thing we said in the Braita, is that if you are motzi and machnis, b'shogeg, you're chayev, chatas. And if you do it b'mezid, you're anush kores. If you did not get asra and you're niskal, if you did get asra, what? I understand. The Braita doesn't have to teach me those things. Those are klolim b'chlal in all Isurim in the Torah. Why are we mentioning that? B'shogeg, chayev, chatas. Obviously, pshita. I mean, if you're talking about a chayev kores, then you're talking about a chayev chatas b'shogeg. Well, the Kiddush is b'mezid your chayev kares v'nisko. What? That's also pshit. I understand it's a fairish story about the mekoshesh etzim in the midbar. I understand what I need a braita to tell me this. So I'm not pshita. Ah, haka mashmon kederev to get a rav, because Rav said I found a secret stash in a megillah that had all type of secret things in it, and this was by Rabbi Chiya. Now remember that Rav was Reb Chiya's nephew. They were very close. And that means that Rav was able to look through Reb Chiya's documents. And I found in his private papers, and it said, now why is it, what do you mean private papers? Because remember, before the heter that we think is ubiquitous, before the heter to write down Torah Shebaal Peh, you had to be very careful that you wouldn't come to use something that you wrote up as your own personal notes to use for teaching, because you're not allowed to teach Torah. Obviously, you can write down your own thoughts and you can write down things that you've learned in order to remind yourself later from things that you wrote it to, but it cannot become a source. It cannot become a book. Oh, well, I saw it written in black and white. Written in black and white is awesome. That's the point. So therefore, when Rabbi Chiya, and this was all before this blanket heter kind of thing, which I don't know if it even exists, but people think it exists. So Rabbi Chiya would write down his own learning, not meant as a Mishnah to teach others. And that was called Megillat Sitarim, because he had to keep it private. So now after he died, Rav found it in his papers. And he said that I found that it was written, Isi ben Yuda Omer, that there are 39 Avot Melachot, but you're only chayev once for all the Avot Melachot. What? That's ridiculous. I mean, Isi ben Yehuda would write something that's connected to Mishnah. I mean, it says, Atnan, Avot Melachot, Arboim Chosar Achad. We asked over there, well, don't we know how to count? Do we need the Tanit to say 39? And we explained the point of the Minyan, as Rabbi Yochanan said, is that it's coming to tell me the maximum number of Karbonis that you could be Chayim. So if you did all of them, you forgot at Shabbos, you did every single one of the Melachos, right? You'd only be chayav once. But if you forgot, you knew it was Shabbos, you forgot every single malacha, and of course, then how did you know it was Shabbos? Maybe you knew it was Shabbos because of Kiddush. Whatever, that's a Gemara discussion. So if you did every single one of these malachas, so you had 39 separate shkagot, so then you would be chayav al kol achat v'achat. How could Isi ben Yehuda say you're only chayav one if you do all the malachas? Ela ema eno chayav al achat mehem. Isi ben Yehuda says that he has a Kabbalah, that even though there's 39 chataot, but midiraisa, there's no din of skila on one of the 39 malachas. Now, he didn't tell us which one. This was called Isi's last theorem. So now, since then, we've been trying to figure out which one was it. He even mentioned, and I have a wonderful proof about this, we haven't been able to figure that out. And so we need to know that you'd be chayev on the din of Hotzah, because I know what you were thinking. You were thinking, you know what Isi was talking about. The Malacha Geruah, Hotzah. That's probably the one that you're not really chayev skila on, because after all, it's a weirdo kind of malacha anyway, right? Wrong. That's why it says that b'mezid you would be chayev skila, in order to tell us this is not Isi's case. So I hope that this was misapek, something of a stronger grounding in the concept of the separate reshuyas that we have. And we'll be talking about this more in the upcoming dafim. And believe me, there's lots more that will allow you to gradually build up a clearer sense of what these arba reshuyas are. I certainly know that currently it would be quite confusing to get a firm grasp on it. But in general, as the Gemara does things, things become something like a Polaroid print. As time passes and you see more of the sugya, it becomes more and more clear in your mind. So hopefully that will be going on very soon, starting tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. And I hope to see you then. Have a wonderful day and a happy recovery for those who had Purim yesterday. Kol tov, everybody.